Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Arthur Pirelli Martin with Biblical Principles for Inner Healing. And I'm dropping in today because I want to talk about chosen. How do you know when you've been chosen by God? Many are called, but few are chosen, right? The invitation went out, but everybody didn't want to accept the invite, right? Everybody did not want to accept the invite. You guys, before we start, though, we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you for being in the midst of us, for being amongst us. We thank you for making us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Father, we come before you humbly, humbling ourselves before you under the mighty hand of God, asking the Holy Spirit to teach us because you are the teacher. As I open my mouth, Lord, I ask that you just speak through me your words of wisdom. Your words of wisdom. Your words of wisdom. Your words of wisdom. Thank you, Lord. You guys, give me 1 second, 1 minute. I had my YouTube set up because I was going to go live on YouTube. Give me 1 second. 1 second, 1 minute, 1 moment. Let's see. Okay, I'm live now. Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Arthur Pirelli Martin. You guys, I dropped in briefly because I want to talk about chosen. How do you know when you have been chosen by God for an assignment? And I'm not going to be here but briefly. I'm going to be here but just for a moment, a minute. When I think about being chosen, I really think about the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to be here but, like I say, but a minute. How do you know that when you have been chosen? Listen, when you've been chosen by God, you don't try to self-promote yourself. People who are sincerely chosen by God, they sit in the back of the class, okay? They're not trying to be seen. They're not trying to self-promote. They're not, because when you've been chosen for real, that means you've been picked by God. You're not, when somebody recognizes you or somebody sees you, that's where God pointed you out. When you've been chosen for real, I'm saying when you've been chosen for real, you'll understand and know your gift will make room for you. You won't be trying to force anything. You won't be trying to push yourself to the front of the class. When your gift make room for you, God will have people to come to you and start pulling on the gift and anointing that's in you. How do you know when you've been chosen? When you've been chosen, when you've been called, you're the one in the family. Mama sees it, daddy sees it. They're the ones, they call on you. It's not where you're trying to do anything. You're not trying to be the boss of anything. It's just that they see the gift and they recognize whatever it is that they see, that anointing that's on you to carry out that assignment. No one's called to do everything, but when we're chosen, and I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of times I talk to people that are chosen. I talk to the ones, because every family has one. Every family has one. Every family has a priest. Every family has one that head up all the events most of the time, or that coordinates most of the stuff all the time. It's not where they volunteer for the position. It's just that no one else will stand up to do it. It's just automatically sometimes assumed that this person will be the one to take on the rail, to take on the load. So when you're chosen, the way ways that you can tell when you've been chosen is when people say things about you're bossy, when people say things about you think you know it all. That's how you know when you've been chosen, because you're not trying to know anything. You're not, God chose you. You didn't choose anything. God is the one who chose you for the position. God is the one who chose you to put the family reunion together. God is the one who, because no one else will pick up and take up the reins. And we tend to say things like, well, why come they won't do it? Or why come this one? They're not called to, they ain't the one chosen to do it. They might not be the one that's gifted to do that. And, you know, a lot of times I tell people and they're like, well, why don't somebody need to do this and somebody need to do that? Why not too? Chances are the Lord, the man with the passion is the man with the compassion is the man with the call. Because when you are passionate about something and you have compassion for something, that makes your motive good. That makes your motive God. That makes your motive love. Your reason for doing that thing is because you love. It's not to be seen. It's not so people can think highly of you. That's not your motive for doing what you're doing. You're doing it because of the love of God is compelling you to go and tell. It's compelling you to do something. You can't just sit there in that spot and everything be okay. That's not what you're called to do. When you're chosen, you're the ones that people call on when they need prayer. When you're chosen, you might be the only person in that family to save. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about talking about God. I'm talking about that person who really lives for God. That's the one that lives for God. You know, the one that they call a holy roller, the one they say, oh, it don't take all of that. That's the one that's constantly being persecuted. The reason they're being persecuted is because they've been chosen. You know, David didn't pick the assignment to take down Goliath. God chose David to take down Goliath. God chose David. David, when he thought he was going to the field to give his brother and them a lunch and to take a report back to his father. He didn't know he was going down there to deal with a Goliath. That wasn't his assignment. He wasn't trying to be boastful or prideful and say, let me go see what they doing. You know, let me go show them. I'll show them. No, he didn't choose the assignment. The assignment chose him. Listen, when you're chosen by God, God will choose you. You don't get to choose it. He chooses you. He chooses you. Every family has one. And this is why it's so important. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about the person who sincerely, not just saying, you know, religious slogans and things like that, but the person who's really hungering and thirsting after the Lord. This is the person I'm talking about. This is the one I'm talking about. I recognize him so clearly. I talk to a lot of chosen people, and I help try to help them to understand. Listen here, God picks one out of every household, and you're the one. You're the one. You're usually rejected, but really, you have to be rejected by people to be chosen by God. That's part of the process. You can't be a man pleaser and a God pleaser, right? So because you have been rejected, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied on. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be all misunderstood. And that's because he had to separate unto me Barabbas. And who was the other one? He said, separate them for the work of the ministry. Because God has called you out of to take you into. 1 Samuel 17. Let me see if I can get to straight to the part. 17:3. You guys watch my animated video on David and Goliath. You don't just have, and I'm reading it literally word for word from the Bible. I mostly read from the NLT. You guys, if you would like to support me anyways, you can Cash App it. Cash App Pearly J. Martin. That's if the Lord leads you to. If you guys would like to help support our nonprofit, WeCare1966.us, you can go over there and support us there too. Make sure you hit like, share, and subscribe on this video because that helps to support the channel. We want to help spread the gospel by any way and any means necessarily. Okay, so let's go to 1 Samuel. We're not going to be here long. 1 Samuel 17. Go back and read the whole chapter for yourself, right? It says, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of a scale armor of bronze weighing the top. I really want to get down to where David came, but my video actually starts there on that verse. Let's see. I want to get If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become our subjects, but I overcame him. Let me see. Give me 1 second. I want to go right to the point where David came out. This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. One hearing the Philistine words, Saul and all his army, they were intimidated by Goliath. They was intimidated by his size, by his stature, by his reputation, right? They wasn't the one God was going to use to bring down this giant. That's not the one God chose to bring down the giant. He brought David in. He says, if we are able to fight and kill me, Goliath is challenging them. Verse 8, 1 Samuel 17:8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. Goliath said, the devil is taunting them. He said, choose a man and have them to come down to me. Right? Choose somebody. He says, if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants and you will serve us. He's challenging them. He's saying that whoever can come and take me out, then we'll be your servant. But if you can find somebody to come take me out, you'll be our servant. But if you can find someone to come take me out, I'll be your servant. So here we have an issue. Here we have a problem. He's saying, who do you want to choose? Who do you want to choose? Verse 10, then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Here's the devil. He's just constantly taunting them. Give me somebody. Verse 11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadi, and the third Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. So David's older brothers was already in the army. They had went through their basic training. You know, they knew the lingo. They fought a few battles, right? So he got 3 brothers in the army already. And David was the youngest, the word says. The 3 oldest followed Saul. Verse 15, 1 Samuel 17:15. He said, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. So he taunted them 40 days. Goliath, the devil, came before him and said, listen, who you going to choose to fight me? You know, he was a bully, and that's what the devil is. He's a bully. He wants to intimidate us with fear and intimidation. Verse 16 says, for 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephraim of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to their camp. Now here David thinking that he's going to take a meal. He's thinking that he's going to take his brother's lunch, right? See, God chooses us. We don't choose the assignment. We don't choose the battles that we fight. God chooses us. God chooses us. Sometimes he'll just send you in on an assignment. God chooses us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We said yes to him, but he chose us. He chose us before the foundations of the world. How do you know when you've been chosen? Because many are called, but only a few have been chosen. To be chosen by God, you have to be willing to be rejected by people. Rejection is not a bad thing. The word of the Lord said Jesus was rejected by men, but chosen by God, right? So now here's David, verse 18, his father's telling him to take some food to your brother and hurry to the camp. 18, he said, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing. Bring back some assurance from them. He's saying, go out there, David, go into the battlefield, see how your brother's doing. Go take them some food, get some cheese to the commanders, and then come back and give me a report on how they're doing, because they ain't have cell phones, text message, they ain't FaceTime, they have none of that. So David was out here running an errand. He was already back there tending sheep. David had already been tending sheep, right? So God was preparing and equipping David for this day. And he didn't know, he didn't choose the assignment chose him. And when you're chosen, that's how it is most of the time. You're not up there holding your hand saying, hey, I'll do it. It's just that if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. No one else is volunteering. You see what I'm saying? You don't choose the assignment chooses you. God chooses you, and your gift will make room for you. I'm telling you, when you're chosen for real, you're usually busy a lot. You're the one that everybody calls on, so the last thing you're looking for is more stuff to do. When you're chosen, I'm saying when you're chosen for real, because you're not in it to gain a reputation. You're not in it for people to think more highly of you. I'm telling you, when I first started going to church, I would go hide off in the balcony because all I wanted to do was go hear praise and worship and hear the word and go home, share with someone else. That was it. I was hiding out. That was my routine. But the Lord found me. He found me. He found me. It's not about trying to make a reputation for yourself. That's not what this, when you're chosen, I'm telling you, when you're chosen, for real. I'm talking about when you're chosen by God, not chosen by people, but when you're chosen for real, your gift will make room for you. And at the right time, the right minute, at the right second, the Lord will, he will point you out. But when you're chosen for real, stuff like that don't really matter because your agenda is always Christ, and you're not trying to get the pulpit. You're not trying to, when you're chosen for real, guess what? You're comfortable being in the background. I'm not talking about false humility. I'm saying really, because you be so busy most of the time because you're the ones that everybody's pulling on. So when you get a chance to rest, that's a good thing. Nobody's calling, the phone's not ringing. You know what I'm saying? That's a great thing. You're not out here trying to find stuff to do when you're chosen, because God chooses you for the assignment. I don't know about you, but I'm not out here trying to come up with stuff. I don't want no good ideas. I want God ideas. I won't do something unless I feel on the inside the Lord is telling me to do it. I don't care what it is. I turn down stuff all the time. If I don't feel like God is telling me to do it, if I don't feel like it's the time, it's the season, I'm not doing it. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is, because I'm not a people chaser. I'm a God chaser, right? I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. For him I live and for him I die, because he gave his life for me so we could have life and have it more abundantly. He says, early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out into the battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their line, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. Because remember, the father told him to go check on them, see how they're doing, and come back with a report. 23, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champions from Gath, he stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard him. While David was there, you see what I'm saying? He didn't choose the assignment. The assignment chose him. He wasn't there trying to make no reputation for himself, trying to be seen. He was there on an assignment. His father had sent him on an assignment. His assignment was to take food to his brother, check on them, see how they're doing, and bring it, come back and tell the father about how the brothers were doing. That was his father's assignment. But the Lord had another whole assignment set up for him, because David had already been prepared and equipped for the work of the ministry. He had already been prepared and equipped for this position. He was, because he had already killed the lion and the bear that no one knew about it. Because God is, how many of you know that God is preparing some men and women in secret? Just because you meet somebody don't mean that's when they met God. Some people have been serving the Lord 30, 40, 50 years. And I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about people that just talk Bible verses. But I'm talking about people who do the word of God. And not just believe it, because even demons believe. But people who believe it, And by faith, they act on it, and they're seeing the the promises of God manifest in their daily lives. He says, as he was talking with God, okay, Goliath come with the same stuff, being defiant, disrespectful. On verse 23, we're on 24. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now, when Saul's army saw Goliath, they was all afraid of him, so they ran in great fear. Right, he's up here taunting them, and whoever takes me down, we serve them, and you know, just being defiant. For 40 days, he went on like this. 25. Now the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defile Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." So these were the benefits. If you take down Goliath, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get a lot of money. You can marry the king's daughter, and you're not going to have to pay taxes, right? 26, David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel?" Because you're disgracing us, right? You're taunting us. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that you should defile the armies of the living God?" David is asking. Verse 27, they repeated to him what they have been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest son, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here?" Listen here, here's where envy comes in. Now we know that the only reason David is there is because his father asked him to be there, right? He was on an assignment from his father. But here's where the envy comes in. So his brothers, David, they asked the man, his brother who was already in the military, who was well-versed and probably already fought a few battles. Now he's approaching David. When this is David's oldest brother, he heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger. He was envy. He was burning with anger and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" Listen here. When people call what you do for the Lord, like your little ministry, your little Bible study, your little this, or your little that, look for those words, because I'm telling you, nothing that you do for the kingdom of God is ever little. Nothing you do for your big God is ever little. Despise not the day of small beginnings. But I'm just telling you, that's a signature word to listen to when people call what you do little. Listen here, because David brother used that. Your little ministry, your little this, your little that. Beware, that's a signature word right there. That's envy speaking. That's envy speaking. David asked the man standing here, so then he said, shouldn't you be down there tending to your few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are. He says, shouldn't you be contented, you know, with your trying to belittle the work of the Lord that you do? Nothing is little when God is in it, right? Despise not the day of small beginnings, because anything that God is in, he multiplies and causes it to grow as we're faithful over the little. He has promised to make us ruler over much. And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. You know, he's like, I know why you're here. You're just coming to watch the fight. You're conceited. Really, what he was speaking about was his own heart. He was talking about what was inside of him. You know, when people are filled full of envy, when these people are going around talking about you, really, they're showing you what's inside of them by what's coming out of them. And the things that they're saying about those people, the person that they're jealous of, the things that they're saying about you is really true about them. David was not being conceited. David was not being arrogant. David was confident because he knew his God. He had already experienced him. God had already showed himself strong in David's life when he helped him to kill the bear and the lion. But his brothers and them didn't know anything about this. But yet they're envious of him. Why are they envious of him? You say he's a sheep herder. He only have a... Why? Because the devil in them saw the gift. When people see the gifting on you, when people see the favor on you, when the devil sees that you're chosen, see God's hands on your life, that you are a forerunner, that you are a go-getter, that you have that faith to finish whatever it is that you start, it makes them envious of you. It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. So here his brother's angry and he's envy. because David is chosen. And that's really what it all boils down to, because he don't probably even know why he's like that. You have people envious of you and you won't even know why. Listen, people that are jealous of you cannot receive from you, okay? They're going to reject everything you say, take it and flip it, and it doesn't matter how you say it. You know when you're dealing with the spirit of envy. Verse 29, now what have I done, said David? Can I even speak? His brother was talking about you're envious, you know, you're conceited, your heart is wicked. David is like, what did I do? Can I even speak? I'm just asking the people what happens if they... Verse 30, he then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul went for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. David's saying, listen, nobody has to be afraid. I'll take care of this. I'm going to go down and I'm going to fight him. I got this. You don't have to be afraid. You know, here he is thinking that he's going to deliver a lunch. Thank you, Lord. But God had an assignment on his life. He was chosen. He was predestined for this day, for this second, for this minute, this moment, and for this assignment. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of these Philistines. Your servant will go and fight him. Verse 33, 1 Samuel 17:33. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. See, he's looking at the outside because he's thinking that David is going to have to do this in his power and his might and his strength, right? But it's not by might nor by power, nor by power, nor by your strength, but it's by his power, says the Lord. It's by God's power. It's not in your strength. It's not your ability. It's God's ability. And when we face circumstances that looks to be bigger than us, that looks to be better than us, we have to make sure that we face it in the strength of the Lord, understanding that it's not me. It's going to be the God flowing through me. It's going to be the God anointing me, and it's going to be God who's going to be helping me. 35, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Now David is testifying on behalf of his father. He's not being boastful. He's not being prideful. Ooh, when I hear pride, it just makes me turn on the inside. You know pride, that boasting, but he's not boasting in himself. He's boasting in the Lord. But do you know God hates pride? He hates arrogance. It just vexed the Holy Spirit. He said he resists the proud, but he gives grace to those that are humble. But David is testifying on the Lord's behalf. He's telling them, look, I struck it down. I rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine would be like one of them. Like the same way the Lord helped me kill the bear, the same way the Lord helped me kill the lion, the same way the Lord brought me through that trial, the same way the Lord brought me through this test, this is how he gonna do it again. Your servant, he will come up the line. Okay, so he said, this was gonna, the servant, the Philistine would be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. He's defiled the army. He's brought a reproach. He's been disrespectful to God. He said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine. What faith? Faith is confidence. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. When we're operating in faith, you're going to have confidence. And when you're operating into the faith and the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have boldness. Because that's what faith gives you, confidence. His confidence was not resting in his ability, because David understood and knew that the only reason he was able to kill the lion and the bear was because of the spirit of God that did it. He said, God rescued me. He said, God rescued me from the paw of the lion, and he rescued me from the paw of the bear. It was him that rescued me. And the same way he rescued me out of this, and the same way he rescued you out of that, is the same way he'll rescue you out of the next thing. Thank you, Lord. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. Verse 38, he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took him off. It's not tried. This is not mine. You can't wear another man's anointing. You can't wear another man's anointing. You have to go with whatever it is that God is telling you to go with. You got to go with his instructions, go with his blueprint, because that's what works for them. That ain't necessarily what works for you. Verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the screen, put them in a pouch of the shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield buried in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, going with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you...